Thank you for the singing. Man, it's just good to be with you guys this morning. Last week, I was with the church over at Inner City last week, and I had a good time with them, and they had me over a couple. This has been the second time that I've been over there, and it's just amazing some of the work that Tim and those guys are doing over there. I go over on Mondays and hand out food and clothing from 10 to about 11:30. They do that with their work there and serving the community. And it's just a joy to just be a part of that and be just asked to come and speak to such a group as them. This morning, we are on the part of the journey that's called Jesus is Seen and How We Treat One Another. I changed the title to what that best fits me. And talking this morning, my title is called Mr. Friend. And I'm going to read you something that I've got from a song that was written back in the 70s by my favorite singer. I don't know if y'all know who Larry Graham is. Y'all know the song One in a Million. Y'all know that one, right? This is a song that was written by him back in the 70s off his album. And it's a very descriptive song that depicts what I'm going to talk about this morning. Also, this morning I had a couple brothers that I've asked to come up and talk about friendship this morning. I asked Ed Ditto, Rondell Crittenton, and also Alex Coleman to come up and talk about friendship and the friendships that we have with each other this morning. But I want y'all to listen to this, to these lyrics to this song. He said, there are many times in life when we all need a friend. Now, it might be at a time when we need a shoulder to cry on, or maybe it might be at a time when we just need someone to sit down and take time to understand. He say, Mr. Friend. He say, Mr. Friend is someone who you can tell your troubles to. Mr. Friend will always see you through. Yes, he will. He say, of all the things we need in life, we all need Mr. Friend. He say, he's good to have around. He cheers you up when you're down. He'll show you how to wear a smile. He'll take away your frown. Mr. Friend's the kind of man who will always understand. You can always count on him. He would do just what he can. And then he repeats the things, repeat the chorus again and say, of all the things we need in life, we all need Mr. Friend. And I think that's Christianity. When I look at this and I find things like this, I think of Jesus a lot of times. Back then, I wasn't thinking of Jesus when I was listening to him. But I think of Jesus and how Jesus was a friend to us and how he befriended us. The passage of scripture I chose this morning to go along with our journey thought this morning is John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. But we're going to read 12 through 15. But I want y'all to listen to what Jesus said in John 15, 12 and following. He said, my command is this, is to love each other as I have loved you. He said, greater love has no one in this, to lay down his life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. He said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friend. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I made known to you. It goes along with the song. You know, Mr. Friend's that type of person that's there for you. And Jesus challenges us. And even in the memory scripture in which John read earlier today, you know, fits with this too. Jesus, first of all, with the disciples, he called them, number one in chapter 13, he called them to love one another. And it's difference in what he and how he called them. He said, I want you now not to just love each other, but I want you to love each other the way I loved you. You know? It changes. And they're thinking in their mind, how did Jesus love one another? Love them. He said, I tell you to love one another as I love you, and people would know that you are my disciples in the way that you love one another. Interesting thing last night, I was on the phone talking with a friend last night, talking to Winfred Felton last night. And Winfred, I was going over my sermon with Winfred. And Winfred was saying we was exchanging, and you know, me and Winfred on the phone, there's a lot of talking going on, and there's a lot of laughing going on, right? Y'all know Fred. And Fred and I was this talking, he made an interesting observation. He said one thing about Jesus in this whole setting and what we're talking about, Jesus is getting ready to be betrayed by two of his friends. Jesus is getting ready to be let down by two of his buddies. Two guys that's been with him, as the young folks say, it's been the ride or die friendship with them. He has been let down by these guys, and these guys has come, and Judas and Peter, and Peter's the one saying, "Oh, Lord, I will go with you wherever you go," and it didn't happen. In just a few short hours, Judas is going to go lie on him and turn him in. Just imagine some of your closest buddies, your closest friend that's close to you, go turn you in. Go turn in, go lie on you, and go turn you in, how they hurt Jesus. Then you had the other one, you had Peter. And he already told Peter, you know, early on he said, you know, Satan's going to come and sift you like wheat. And he said, but when you come back and encourage your brothers. And Peter denied the fact that he was going to do it. But one thing that Peter did, that Jesus did, that he did, he turned his back on Jesus. Just imagine how Jesus felt. See, these weren't just people, haphazard people that he had spent time with, but these are people that he spent 3.5 years on this earth with, and Peter was one of his close compadres. He's one of his close buddies that he hung out with, Lauren, and that he shared some even deeper thoughts. When he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter was there. You know? Peter was one of the guys that was there. When he went in and healed the girl that had died, when his dad came and got him, he took Peter, James, and John in the room with him. So Peter had even a special place for him, because Peter was one of his closest friends and closest buddies. So when Jesus say this to us in chapter 15, he mean this right here. He say, greater love. He say, greater love is this, that you lay down your life for a friend. And so I'm going to be talking about this here in a little bit. I've asked Ed Ditto, where are you, Ed? I'm going to ask Ed Ditto, and I'm going to ask Rondell Crittenden, and also Alice Coleman to come and talk about friendships. Here for a minute.
He's a brave man. Brave man. To me, the word friendship is really significant. It's so much more than Facebook. Friendship is more than Facebook. I have few men in the world that I call friends. Few. Gary's one of them. There's a few special things that I'm going to tell you about our friendship, and I'm just going to tell you these few things, and that won't be all of them. Our conversations and our decisions and any of the bright new ideas that Gary and I come up with, we always go back to Scripture. What does the Bible say? Always. And Gary and I trust and respect each other. And we change our schedule for each other. Think about that one. Nothing we say to each other is intended to hurt, although the truth in what is said might be hurtful sometimes. Think about that. With Gary and me, confidential means confidential. We share things with each other that we don't share with others. And Gary and I do some hard things together. Gary's got my back. I'm an old white guy who was raised differently from Gary, and we make this a strength. And the last thing, Gary, our friendship started with a long truck ride together. You can ask him.
me set my phone on 5 minutes. No, I'm serious. I have to sit in 5 minutes. There we go. I met Gary in 1986, Alabama A&M Campus Ministry. Through the Alabama A&M Campus Ministry, I was a freshman studying physics and computer science. And I was constantly bombarded by this group of guys who were always asking me out to a Bible study. And I was like, man, I got to study. I have physics, I have calculus, I have biology, I have electrical engineering. I really don't have time to go to Bible study because I'm either studying or sleeping or eating. Those are three things that I did when I was at A&M. But finally, about my my sophomore year, I had the time during a summer break when I was working. I worked as a janitor. I worked fast food. I worked mowing lawns. I was debt-free going to school, so I don't have any college debt. But in saying that, these guys stayed on my back, are you coming to the study or not? And so I finally went. I grew up in a religious home, so I was full of scripture. I just couldn't place it all together. And until I met these guys who were really serious about God's word. And when I met Gary, he was one of the most serious men that I had known who was serious about God's word, not only living God's word, but teaching God's word and trying to do what God's word said according to scripture. That made an impression on me because my father taught me that you can always tell a man by not only what he says, but what he does. And I saw Gary not only saying the things that he did what he said, and that had a great impact on me. So I remember being in a Bible study with Steve Balk. Steve Balk taught from Acts chapter 2 about Peter preaching to the church and recognizing that my sins put Christ on the cross. I think it was a week later after that I got baptized. But before that time, I had been studying with Gary and a couple of other brothers. But Gary was the main influence for me really wanting to find out who Jesus was and the aspect of me really seeing a life carried out according to scripture. If there's something that I could say about Gary, it would be faithful, a confidant, an advisor, but my favorite one is brother. Gary has a tremendous love for people. He has a tremendous love for this body. He has a tremendous love for Christ. And he strives every day, I believe, to live according to that. There's nothing that I could not call Gary for. There's no time of day or time of night that he's not willing to spend time and to just talk, just to say, hey, brother, how are you doing? I treasure the friendship that we have. And as peers, as fathers of men of God, I can definitely say that Gary and his life that he's led has influenced my life tremendously. We have been friends since 1986. We have been brothers since 1986. And I'm thankful for his life. I'm thankful for his wife. I'm thankful for all of his family because they are my family. They call me their little brother. Being the man that Gary is, I could find no greater example of a brother who lives according to God's word, who seeks to save souls, who seeks to preach God's word according to the will of God. And I'm honored to be his friend and his brother, and to know a man of such integrity that he's willing to put everything on the line to tell you the truth with one objective, and that's to point you in Jesus' direction. And he's taught me to do that. We've done that back and forth over the years, and we've knocked heads, but it's always been out of love. And he's taught me that in order to truly be a friend, are you willing to lay your life on the line for those that you love, even when it hurts? Those are the things that I take from my friendship, from our friendship. I would treasure them all the days of my life, and I hope that those are the things that I could pass on to others that I'm trying to bring to Christ. So Gary, I appreciate you, I love you. Everything that you do, not only for me, but for this body as well.
back. So I'm the younger gentleman out of these two younger gentlemen that went before me. A backstory, for a lot of people don't know, I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. Come from a single parent home. Done a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of stuff raised in that environment. So bring me here to A&M. I met Gary through the college ministry, but the time when I truly started to get to know Gary is when I was dating a young lady who is now my wife. And was going through the cycle and troubles of a young black man raised in the environment that I was, not knowing how to be a man, period, to a young lady or a Christian man at that. Said I wasn't gonna get emotional. He went out on a limb and showed me how to become that man and be that man that follow God first and don't worry about what happens after that. If you follow God first, then everything will fall in line. He was that friend to me that now I think back and I know that God was working in him to make me to where I am today. A man of God, living for him, loving my wife, being the Christian man to her, and trying to show other young people that I know the same thing, that when they see me and they see us, that they see God. So that is what I consider the first time of the friendship that he's done for me. And over the years, we, as Mr. Ditto said, we move our schedules. I'll move my schedule to make sure I meet with him because he would keep me in line. He would keep me checked. He'll ask me about my life directly. There's no holding back. We're true and we're real to one another, and that is what friendship is. To have somebody to check you, as I listen to these songs, have somebody to check you and not gas you up. And he will let me know when I'm doing wrong, and there's been no opinion that he's given that's not backed up by scripture. He always gonna show me scripture based off the wisdom that he's given me. So as we talk about the friendship, I guess my friendship is the testimony of where I am today and who I am, this Christian man in my marriage, and him allowing me to come over. Once again, as a kid, you know, from Memphis, you know, people have this image of people from Memphis, but he led me in his household, watched him and Miss Connie, watched them how to live and be married Christian people. And that has, I don't know if I ever told him, it's been a real blessing in my life. And I'm very thankful. As we talk about friendship, I don't consider him a friend, I consider him family. And as I said, I grew up in a single parent home. There's pretty much this bond between us where he's really my dad. So, and he calls me his son. So that's what I think too, when he's talking about this, that this thing, it goes beyond the word friendship as we see it. It's family, and we treat each other like that. So that's all I got to say.
I appreciate these brothers sharing, and I asked them to share a little bit about it because I want you to see what I've done in my life. I have an older gentleman in my life, Ed Ditto and also Ed Smith. I call them my Eds. I call on them. I spend time with them because they're important to me, and I wanted somebody to be in my life that wouldn't just tell me what I like to hear. I need somebody to tell me the truth. If you know anything about Ed Ditto, his favorite phrase is Bud. And when he comes to me and say, Bud, I go, oh, man, I don't want to hear this. Oh, my gosh, I don't want to hear what he's got to say. But I appreciate it. We went on a trip with me. Ed went with me to go pick up. I have an older child, Maria Hensley, that we took in when she was 15 years old and finished raising her. And she was on her way to South Korea, and we had to go pick up her stuff. I didn't know Ed that well, and I didn't have a way to get there, and what I was going to do is fly there and get rent a truck and come back. And Ed said, I got a bright idea. My son, he He has a trailer. He said, why don't I go with you? And I'm saying, I don't know this guy. I don't want to go on no trip with him, you know? We went on this trip, and I said, what am I going to talk to this guy about? I don't know anything to talk about. So I had my earbuds in, and I had my phone. I said, I'm going to listen to music. That's what I'm going to do. We never turned on the radio. I never got to listen to our music, but we listened to each other's hearts. And I got to know who he was. I said, I had the right man. I went to Ed probably about 2 years after that. I said, Ed, I need 2 hours a month of your time. He said, okay, you got it. Rundell, I've been knowing Rundell forever. Like Rundell said, Rundell is like a... What are you doing, buddy? Come on. What are you doing? You coming up here with me? Okay. That's fine. This is what family's all about, right? You want to see what's going on. That's what you're doing. But Rundell, I've been knowing Rundell all my life. My family calls him, my mom and dad referred to him as our adopted son. When we have any family functions, Rundell will always, my parents always say, is Rundell coming? Juanita always said that they never knew her name. I always told her, I said, don't drink anything my nieces give you because they're going to poison you because Rundell is their forever boyfriend. And I said, don't do that. But he's been a part of my life. Alex has been so special to me in that he's around the age as my son. And as y'all know, my son went through a whole lot. And Darius had a tough life. You go back to mama? Had a tough life. But one thing that that Alex has done for me, he's shown me what true love is all about. He asks me every week about how Darius is doing. He sits there and listens to my stories. I'm about to cry. And he cries with me when I cry about Darius. And but he's been a true trooper and has taken things to heart what life is all about. My 3 points I'm going to make this morning, if you go back to the passage of Scripture over in John chapter 15, he said, a new commandment I give you. And he says to love one another. He said, greater love is no man is this, that lay down his life for a friend. It begins, friendship starts with love. It begins with love. The psalmist say, are you going to take the baby? and the proverb writer says in Proverbs 17:17, I was wondering how I was going to preach with a baby in my arm, but I've done it before. But, you know, but it says in Proverbs chapter 17:17, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for time of adversity. See, one thing about it is that Jesus is telling his disciples, it's not just loving people when times are good. It's not loving people, you know, just loving people in all times, because adversity is going to come. But our question is today, what kind of friend are you? Are you a Mr. Friend? We follow the example that Jesus has called us to do. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is Jesus' example that he calls us as Christians to do. And love is the key. It's the first one is the key. Love is one of these things. He's not talking about this sappy love and that I love you, this right here. He's talking about action. It's talking about being there. It's talking about loving somebody in spite of. It's talking about spending time. As the young kid said, it's the ride or die mentality. And there's a lot of people in this audience. I could have called a lot of brothers up to talk about this. Adam Wood, they have a good relationship with Adam. And John Kuhn, my 6'7" buddy that hugs me in Costco's when I don't want him to, makes me feel uncomfortable. But I have a lot of people that you can talk about this. But just think about Jesus saying it's greater love. He talked about greater love. And we talk about it's something greater than this. He said greater love. He said there's no expression of love that's no greater than this that you're willing to die for a friend. Just think about that. You're willing to give up your life. And as I said earlier in my sermon, he said this right here. Jesus gave up his life for two people that turned his back on him. That turned his back on him. Just think about that. Just imagine that kind of love that you have that's inside of you that's so sacrificial that you understand that it doesn't matter what to do, I'm going to do it anyway, type of love. Now think of mamas. Think of how mamas love their children. A mama go out on the limb for their babies. You don't poke that mama bear. I don't care who she is. She's going to come and let you know, ain't that right, Miss Drew? You're going to come and let them know what's going on. But Jesus called us to a greater love, brothers and sisters, in our friendship with one another. One of the greatest things that we're lacking in church, and it's great, we assemble together, we come together, and then I ask around, and I ask about your friendships and your relationships. Who's in your life? Who are you sharing this love with? Who are you spending time with? It hurts me so much when I hear divorced couples, there's couples in the congregation that's going through divorces, and I ask around what's going on, and nobody seems to know what's happening. There's something wrong with that one. One of the greatest people, one of my closest friends here, I would have got him to come up here to speak this morning, is Mike Porter. Mike Porter and our relationship is totally different than most people. We communicate differently. Because Mike don't like the hugging and all that kind of, as Porter. But there's nothing that Mike Porter would do for me. He loves me unconditionally. I call him sometimes, him and Laura, I call them, and Mike always say, "What do you want?" I said, "Mike, that's not nice to say to your friend." But that's Porter, you know, that's Porter. And I told him I have a love-hate relationship with him, but it's genuine. Just imagine that Jesus on many occasions with the disciples, I remember Peter on one occasion, his love for Jesus, love for Peter, is this right here? He told Peter one time, Peter said, "Lord, you're not going to die." And he told him, "Get behind you, Satan." He said, "You don't have the things of God, you have the things of the world." What friend is that? Somebody said, "That's not love." Yes, he is, because he's being completely honest with him about what's going on. Number two is that having a true friendship, sacrifice is part of the course, right? There's going to be some sacrifice there. Friendship is not cheap. You know, it comes with a price. It's not just money, but it's time and it's energy. It is not always convenient. It's not always convenient. Somebody call you and they say, "Man, I'm stuck on the side of the highway. What are you going to do?" And they wait in Coleman. And you say, "Man, I got to get up out of my bed and I got to drive to Coleman." What are you going to do? Is try to find somebody that live in Coleman that can come and get them? Or you can get up out of bed and say, "Hey, I got to go." I was going through a time in my life where me and Connie Darius was being sentenced up in Tennessee. Connie wasn't able to go, and my vertigo was messing with me. And my buddy Ed Ditto called me and said, "I'll go with you." He sat there, rubbed my back, got me through the toughest time in my life when my son got sentenced 9 years in prison. But you talk about in Galatians chapter 6, it say, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. See, it's sacrificial. It's not just convenient, you know what I mean? It takes time. It's like when I called Laura Porter and I can't find another babysitter. And all my babysitters, I'm out here, and she said that she was going to be my backup plan. And I called Laura the night before and said, "Laura, you up?" And she never said, she said, "I've got the work, but come on, bring her on." And she's a true trooper in that. Or sometimes we just need somebody to sit down and talk to you. You've been in that position where you just feel like that you just, nothing is going right. And you don't have the answer for those things. You ever been there before? See, a person you call late at night, or you call somebody like Tony Collins, and Collins and Tony say, "Yeah, brother, I'm there." See, Tony takes out an hour of his time. First, don't call me on the first Wednesday of every month, because that's my TC time from 11:30 to 12:30. And he sits there and he listens to me vent. And he listens to my pain. He listened to a lot of stuff that a lot of you guys ain't privy to, but he listens to that. That's sacrifice, man. That's sacrifice. Or someone passes away and you drive 3-4 hours to go be with that brother or that sister. And people wonder why you do that. You do that because you being a friend like Jesus. You being Mr. Friend to them. It's a sacrifice. And it's for you to understand that you're not doing it just to, so people can recognize what you're doing, but you're doing it because that's what Jesus called you to do, is to sacrifice for your brothers and sacrifice for your sisters and to be there no matter what you're going through in your life. And this church does a very good job of when it comes down to death, man. I still got a stack of cards I haven't finished reading through in my time of need and sorrow. As we're on this journey point, you know, you go back to the memory verse that we had, and you go back and you really look at that, what Jesus is telling the disciples. That all men would know that you're my disciple. How are they going to know it? Where are you spending your time? What are you doing? How are you helping somebody else? See, it's not just sitting in these pews. You know, you look around and you look around to see how you can help somebody and how you can be there for somebody. It's sacrificial. And it hurts sometimes. And sometimes, you know, what people want you to do in that, and, you know, you think about sacrifice, people don't want you to just to have the right answers when you go to them and when they call you. And you got a friend that's struggling with alcohol or struggling with drug addiction, and they call you in the middle of the night, and they're saying that you need, I need to talk for a minute. What you going to do? Let them go get high? I have one buddy that calls me, and I tell him, I said, when you're in trouble, I say, the signal is, if you can't get me, you know, you text me 911. You call me and text me 911. Jackie's shaking her head because her husband, Jerry, was that way. Text me 911, and I know that it's serious, and I know I got to get there, and I got to call him immediately. And some of the things they say don't make any sense at all. They're just rambling on and on and on and on because they're on the verge of doing something they know is going to hurt them. How many of y'all are being those type of friends to people here? We got a lot of guys from His Way that's here. How many of us are willing to take that on? Because what Jesus is saying, that it goes beyond just sitting in this pew on Sunday morning and sitting in these chairs. It happens outside these doors. That's out that wall. And mainly what I'm talking about this morning, what I'm talking about this morning is spending time with folks and being with people is what Jesus is saying. One of the most powerful verse, part of this verse that gets me is this one, the last part of it. Is Jesus said, I no longer call you friends because a friend, I no longer call you a servant because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friend, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I made known to you. You know, that's complete disclosure. You know what I mean? Complete openness. Who is somebody in this congregation, or someone of you in your life here in this church that you're just completely open with? You're just an open book. They know you. They know the ins. They know the outs of you. They know what's going on with you. There's no guessing game there. Like Alex said, I'm going to ask you. You know, if you're in my life, I'm going to ask you. Because I believe when you got baptized in Christ, you invited me into your business because I'm your family. I'm going to ask you, how about you? Disclosure meaning that there's no hidden agendas there. It's complete openness, honestly, about yourself. Telling someone your dreams, your disappointments. Telling one your struggles and your fears. Telling someone that you just don't understand. Colossians 3, verse 17 said, 3:12 says this, therefore God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then it says this, it said, and bearing with others and forgiving one another, if any of you have a grievance against one another, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together. Guys, we got to be about bearing with each other. You got to be open. We have a saying in our life talk, and we got this from Adam Wood. We're just going to be real. We're going to be real. In our life talk, what we do, we allow each couple or individual that come a part of our life talk to come in and tell their story. We let them tell their story. You know why? We want them to be open. We want to know what's going on with you. We don't care what it is. Because everybody in that room has got an opportunity to tell their story and to spill their heart out. And without judgment. Well, our problem is we're not in the judgment business. We're in the God in God's business because we're here to help each other out. I don't know how to help if you don't tell me. You know what I mean? I don't know how to help. We don't know how to help. But what Jesus has told the disciples here, he's calling us to the same thing. And Richard has spent time, him and Rodney and those guys spent time. And if you look at Richard's list, you know how Richard is. Richard's going to give you more than what you really need. He'll give you a little bit more, a little extra. But what they've done in his journey thought, he's talked about all these one another passages of scriptures. And he's given all the one another passages of scriptures. But guys, let me tell you something. The one another scriptures ain't worth anything if you're not taking them and putting them in your life every day and helping someone else. God is teaching you how to be. That's what those one another scriptures is. Teaching you how he wants you to be and how you operate as Christians. That's how he wants you to be. It's not for you to just take them and memorize the verses, you know, the memory verses. I memorized these verses. I remember when I was in elementary age and we used to go to vacation Bible school and we had to memorize a verse so we'd get a lollipop. It's not about getting a lollipop. You know what I mean? It's talking about transformation. It's all about changing your life and what God wants you to be. So you ask yourself, you know, what kind of friend am I? Am I Mr. Friend? As, you know, as the song says, you know, am I being Mr. Friend? Am I that someone that somebody could come to me and I could turn the troubles over to? Am I being that kind of friend to someone else? Let me ask you this question. Are you allowing someone to come along beside you and tell you, Jackie Eldridge always remind me. Jackie's in the audience. Wave, Jackie. Jackie always remind me, say, Gary, you help everybody else, but you won't let nobody help you. I want to be there for you, but you won't allow me to be there for you. And Jackie said, I'm going to be there, even though you don't want me there. I'm going to be there. And she'll tell me that all the time. But are we being those type of people that God wants us to do? Because it's important, guys, in this world today, one thing that we're liking today, we're so caught up in the political world, and Republican and Democrat. We're caught up in making money and who is wrong and who is right. But what if the world sees something totally different? What if the world sees something totally different than us? When people walk in here at Central Church of Christ and they see all these relationships and all these friendship forming things, and it was exciting to hear Carrie talk about on Wednesday night that she has her village of people. I like to hear that kind of language, you know, because she told the kids, say, hey, if someone in our village come to pick you up, you just get in the car and we'll deal with it later. That's friendship there, right? Because they know each other and around. And with them coon kids, if they're part of that village, there's 5,500 of them. So they, you got to find a lot of them to do that. But the thing is that it doesn't matter. I tell these kids here at church, I love the kids. I love kids. And was it Manny that came up? Manuel came up just a while ago. I'm welcoming them because I want them to know what true love is all about. When they see Uncle G, in which they call me Uncle G. Hussein kids call me Gigi. You know, they call me Uncle Gary, you know, and some of them call me Uncle Garris, you know, it doesn't matter. The thing is that what they're seeing from us, you know, the reason why, you know, I love the people that I get close to in friendship is because I get the opportunity to get close to their family too. I'm part of Alan Wright's life. And by me being Paula Allen's right in life, I get the pleasure of being with Mr. Drew, which is a blessing to me. If y'all don't know Mr. Drew, I like her because she tell it like it is. I love it. But I get mad at her and Mr. Wright when I go over there. They won't be quiet so I can talk. I go over there. But I love hearing the stories. But my relationship started with their son, Alan. Y'all see what I'm saying? See, when I'm Mr. Friend to Alan, I get to know his family and Claudia and Claudia's children and even the one that calls me Gear Bear. You know, I get to know her. Mary calls me Gear Bear. I get to know Mary. I get to know the whole clan. There's a lot of them, too. You know? And I joke Nate all the time because I call Nathaniel. I called him Daniel for a whole year. I said, it's the same. Y'all from the same family. But anyway. But Nate, I get to know Nate, and now I get to know his mom and his dad. See, it's important at what Jesus is saying. What Jesus was saying to us is that greater love is that. And if we love him like we're supposed to love, and we sacrifice the way we're supposed to sacrifice, and we disclosing like we're supposed to be disclosing each other, what happens is it builds a bond. And it builds a bond that stays for a long time. And it's not just when we depart and I move somewhere else. It's still there. I think if I move away today, I think Ed Ditto will still find me in his little red truck. I really do. Because we are bonded and we're connected by the blood of Jesus Christ and what he wants us to be. So you ask yourself, am I Mr. Friend? Am I the man of God that God has called me to be the man that he wants me to be so I can love the way that he wants me to love? And so we can grow as a church and we can show this outside world what true, true Christianity is all about. It's about relationship with God and relationship with one another. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for the example that you've given us in John 15 through Jesus. Jesus opened up his heart and he said, greater love, like that. And give his life for a friend, sacrifice, openness. And I pray, Father, that there's some people in this room, in this audience, Lord, I know that we have some people in this audience that have great relationships with one another. But Father, there's someone in this room in which you put this sermon on my heart to share that's struggling in this area and don't understand this or want to do more. And I'm praying that it touch their hearts to spur them to go and do more for you. Father, you know, we've come here just laid bare before your altar this morning and just asking you to forgive us when we have fallen short and we haven't been the people that we are. We've got so busy that we forget about the people that's around us. But Lord, we just thank you so very much for grace and for mercy and for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us and gave us eternal life. And that's what it's all about. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So if there's anyone in here that's outside of Christ and need to